cheap cowboy food. Cowboy beans is what we're going to serve. And we'll probably try to have some kind of Texas barbecue or something like that. I don't know. Maybe figure something out. So anyway, it's always a fun time to have the Sweetheart Banquet. So if you haven't planned on doing that, it's going to be Saturday. Usually we start about 4:30, and Pastor Weeb will be preaching. He'll be preaching for us on one of the services on Sunday. So, and then looking forward into the distance, make sure you make plans to be here for the King James Conference. We'll have guest speakers, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Mejia, Pastor Anderson, and then I'll be here to preach also. And the schedule's on our YouTube page on the community section. All the other stuff is par for the course here. Molly's birthday, we sang happy birthday to her. And that's all I have for now. So let's go ahead and sing another song. We'll receive the... Oh, she's raising her hand for the song. She's already... That's cheating. All right. No, let's get it. They're all cheating.
All right.
Who is the luckiest
blessed in this church? Miss Jessica. 216, I think. All of them. Oh, we're going to do two songs for third, by the way. So just surprise. Song 215. Sing it together on the first. Oh, wait, this is... Hold on 1 second. I was on the wrong song. Song 216, Surely Goodness and Mercy. Song 216, let's sing it together on the first. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. On the second, He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. On the last, when I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. days, all the days of my life.
Miss Bobby. 134, my anchor holds. Song number 134 in your green and red hymn books, My Anchor Holds. Song 134, let's sing it together on the first. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds. His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. On the second, mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest and oh gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail. My anchor holds, my anchor holds. I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast, and the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely turning of the tide, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest and oh gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my troubles almost whelm the soul. Griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. And it holds. Small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Amen. Good singing with that. We'll have our offering. Brother Ramon, can you bless the offering for us?
Thank you. All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter number 2, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the seat in front of you. Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2, the Bible reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brother Gabriel, will you pray for us?
Amen. All right. Well, we're not in the Bible study tonight. I'm just going to be preaching a sermon, the 2024 year in review. And I do this every year. And I'll be talking about maybe some of the 2025 goals. So we're here in Acts chapter 2. The reason why I like the book of Acts and these types of reviews is because our church, now, although the goal is to be like the Church of Acts, we're not quite there yet. We haven't achieved that goal yet. But that is the goal, to be like the book of Acts, the church in the book of Acts, just all about that action, boss. We're just making all kinds of, you know, headway and getting people saved, getting people baptized, starting churches, preaching the Bible, getting into all kinds of adventures, having great stories to tell, great salvation stories to talk about. And that's what the book of Acts is about. I mean, there's shipwrecks, there's false prophets, they're fighting demons, there's just all kinds of stuff's going on. And there's just all, the reason why it's called the book of Acts is because it's the actions of the apostles. The things that the apostles did after Jesus Christ leaves in the first chapter. He goes back up to heaven, he's like, hey, get it done, boys. That's paraphrasing, of course. Big paraphrase, very big liberties taken right there. But essentially, and we're going to get to that passage, and I'll show you what he really said. But he's just basically, when he leaves, the last thing he's telling him is, hey, get this job done. And so, you know, you see that the apostles just right out the gate just start getting it done. Peter preaches this great sermon here. And at the end of it, a bunch of people end up getting saved. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, the ones that got saved, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls in one day got saved. That is a great day of soul winning, wouldn't you say? We haven't had one of those days. We've had where we have a whole bunch of people in the whole world soul winning in one day. And we've gotten close to that mark where we're just getting all these people saved in one day. But that's a group effort all around the world, which is amazing. We haven't done that in quite some time because there's a whole bunch of splits that happen and a bunch of people don't like each other anymore. And, you know, people just get envious. And, you know, that's a different story that I don't want to talk about. I want to be positive tonight. I want to go out positive. I preach a positive sermon on Sunday, something to help motivate us to go into the new year. And this is a positive sermon tonight because we've done a lot of positive things this year. And we're a part of a lot of positive things that have happened this year. And, you know, negative things are going to happen when you're trying to do positive things for the Lord. There's going to be negativity that's going to come. People are going to sling mud at us. People are going to say, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that. They're going to lie about us. Yep. They're going to just call. People call me all the time and complain about you guys all the time. Do you know that?
about knocking on their doors at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were pounding on my door and all this other stuff. And people complain, but you know what? You know, it's good that you're rousing people up and making people think about the things of God, because you know what? Nobody's telling people. It's very few and far in between the people who are actually knocking on people's doors and telling people about the gospel. But here it is, 3,000 souls. Why am I giving you a report? I'm going to give you some numbers tonight. I'm going to give you some numbers of what our church has helped achieve this last year, and you know, things that churches that we've planted have helped achieve for the Lord this year. And you're like, well, what's the big deal about numbers? Like, numbers is just a number. Yeah, I know. Numbers are numbers, and they add up to other numbers, but that's math. But they are important. There's a whole book in the Bible. Guess what it's called? Numbers. You know, why is it called Numbers? Because there's a lot of numbers in that book. God puts numbers all throughout the Bible. And you know why he puts them in there? Because they're important to him. It's part of Scripture, because numbers are important to him. Is it the most important thing? It's not necessarily the most important thing, but why did God tell us that 3,000 people got saved in one day? Because it's exciting. Because it's action-packed, because it makes us be like, hey, God's word is effective. God's word can be so powerful that people can get saved in droves. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says in Acts 4, 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's even a better day. They're grieved that they're preaching to the people. Why do people get grieved about it? People are just haters. People just don't want to get saved, and when they don't want to get saved, they don't want other people to get saved. I'm sure that you've noticed when you're out soul winning, sometimes there's just that one or two or maybe even more people that they just want to make sure that you're not going to knock on somebody else's door. You're not going to get somebody saved. I'm going to stop you. I'm the manager from hell, and I signed my contract, you know, in Satan's blood that I would not allow anybody to get the gospel preached to them or whatever. There's just some weirdos out there, and they don't want people to get saved. But you know what? God's word will break through those types of barriers. God's word will make sure that people get saved, because it says, many of them which heard the word. When people hear the word of God, people are going to get saved. In this instance, 5,000 people got saved. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible reads, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Oh, and hey, in the last verse it said the number of the men was about 5,000. That's just the men, by the way. Now, in the next chapter, it's saying men and women, but it doesn't say how many. It just says multitudes. Now it's just like, yeah, it doesn't really matter how many. It was just a lot, okay? Sometimes it's saying the numbers. Sometimes it's just saying how many men. Sometimes it's saying men and women, and it doesn't really matter what the number is. Look at verse 40. "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You know that soul winning and getting people saved is so excited to them that they caught a beating afterwards, and they're like, "Hey, let's go do this some more. This is a great time. This is fun." You know, they counted themselves worthy that they were able to be beaten and suffer shame for the name of Christ. That they're like, "This isn't stopping us." You know, the persecution ramped it up, and they're like, "Let's do this more. Call me crazy, but I just want to keep going." You know, and when you're in a really receptive area, have you ever noticed how you just want to keep going and keep going? You want to just keep getting people saved? You know, and they even caught a beating and still wanted to do it. It's just how it is when you're filled with the Spirit.
You know, people talk all the time about wanting to have a church like this. You know, I've gone to churches over the years, and they talk about the old days. They talk about these Welsh revivals and all this other stuff. They talk about stuff that happened that probably isn't true. Talk about stuff that happened that's in the 1800s or the Book of Acts. Stuff that they're never going to do because they're never going to get out and do it. There's probably churches that are holding New Year's Eve services that don't even go soul winning, that they're talking about stuff that happened, but they don't do the stuff themselves. And I don't want this church to ever be a church that doesn't go out and do stuff themselves. We are self-starters. We want to get out and do the work and get it done ourselves. I don't want to just be a church that says we like soul winning. We want to be a church that does love soul winning so much that maybe if we did catch a beating, we'd still get out there and do it. So, look at Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And just hang on, we'll get to the numbers here, don't worry. What was that church like, though? What was the church of Acts like? Well, they were out doing the work. They were preaching the word. They're getting results. And if you get out, you do the work, you preach the word, you're going to get results. They're not talking about what Jesus did when he was on the earth. Jesus was gone. They're out doing it themselves, right? Just like Joshua didn't talk about what Moses did. He's like, let's go do what we're going to do. They're actually doing it themselves. They're not just evangelizing, though. They're spirit-filled, face-ripping sermons that they're preaching to. They're starting churches. It's not, you know, people just act like, well, you just should just preach the gospel and that's it. Don't preach anything else but the gospel. And people will come to our church and they'll hear me not preach the gospel in a sermon. And they'll go, you should be like Charles Spurgeon. He preached the gospel at every sermon he preached. It's like, yeah, I'm sure he did. But he didn't preach the whole Bible either. He has volumes of books. You're not going to hear him preach about certain things because they're not popular to preach. He was a popular preacher because he only preached about the popular things in the Bible. He didn't preach the hairy things of the Bible. So yeah, people don't like that part. But Stephen gets up and preaches this super spirit-filled sermon because look, what does it say? Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Was he full of faith? Yes. Was he full of power? Yes. And did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So when you start preaching the truth, when you start preaching things that people don't like, then they're going to start disputing with you if you're preaching spirit-filled sermons. And it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which they spake. And what do? When they can't do that, when they can't resist the wisdom of the preaching of God's, and look, it's the preaching of God's word. It's not my doctrine, something I made up, something some other pastor made up. When we preach the Bible, we're preaching the word of God. And people get angry at what the Bible says just because I'm saying it. They get mad at me, though. They're getting mad at Stephen. They kill Stephen. Why? He was full of faith and power. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they killed him because of the words he was preaching were the word of God. It wasn't because he was just a mean guy or something. He just didn't like people. No, they didn't like what he was saying. What he was saying was the truth. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, and they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses. See, this is how these people always operate. This is the types of things that happen to us all the time. All the time when I preach stuff, you'll get the false witnesses. They start lying about me. They start lying about people that I associate with. They'll start lying about you. And they just make stuff up. Which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. But that isn't that exactly what he did, though? Didn't the temple get destroyed and not one stone was left upon another that was not thrown down? Didn't the things that Moses taught, some of those things got changed, didn't they? So actually, that is what happened. Now, look what happens because of him. He preaches this hard sermon. Well, he preaches like he basically just teaches the history of Israel, basically. And then he says, you always resist the Holy Ghost. And then they get really upset with him. And what happens? Look at verse 57. It says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They basically, they're just screaming. And they cover their ears and they run at him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, this part of the Bible is not here for no reason. This affected Saul. This affected Saul more than people actually realize. And it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His preaching, yes, it got him killed, but it affected the young man Saul to the point where Saul became the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth after, Jesus Christ. He wrote half the New Testament. He preached great sermons. He was a go-getter. He got it done. He made sure that the whole world received the gospel. And why? Because when Jesus meets Saul on the road to Damascus, what's he say to him? He says, Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why does he say that? The pricks of, hey, you're doing something wrong. You need to get saved, Saul. That's probably what he's talking about. The pricks of the Holy Spirit telling him he needs to get saved. And he does. I'm sure he felt bad about what he did there. When he saw a man get stoned to death right in front of him, that all he was doing was preaching the Bible, that affected him. So don't think that just the gospel going out is the only thing we're supposed to do. Because this is what people will say, and they'll go, well, why is there so much controversy with a church like ours? Why do people hate us so much? Because we preach the Bible, that's why. It's not just about winning souls, people. It's not just about that. It's about the truth of the Bible being preached, and people hate that. And don't let people fool you with this. It's only about the gospel. Why do they have to be so mean? It's about both, folks. It's about both. And people, I could preach the Bible just as nice as pie, and everything in here is divisive now. Everything is. Just pick a subject, flip to a page, and people get offended about it. It's just the way it is. So look at Acts 8:12. It says, but they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. This is talking about in Samaria. He goes and preaches in Samaria. People believe Philip's preaching. Skip down to verse 35. So he gets a bunch of people saved in Samaria. And then he goes, and it says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. This is talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, we have our personal stories too. That one person, you're one-on-one with somebody, and that person gets saved. And maybe nobody else is ever going to hear that story. It'll get lost in time. It'll get lost in church. Maybe, you heard that. Maybe just you and another person know about that story. But that story, this story, is memorialized in the Bible. But how many of us have a great story where someone, you changed someone's mind with the Bible and got them saved? what we do at this church matters for eternity, and what we've done in this last year matters for eternity. And you know what? What we're going to do next year matters for eternity, and we shouldn't take these things for granted. Our attendance here is important. Our work, our labor is not in vain. And it does matter. It matters what we're doing. You know, I could go on and on. I could go chapter by chapter in the book of Acts, but I'm not going to do that to you guys tonight because we got games to play and fun to have. I understand that. But look, numbers do matter. And, you know, God just has all these books in the Bible. Like, it just, even in the book of Chronicles. I mean, we went through 9 chapters. It's just names. Names and names. And then it'll go through materials and, you know, what all the stuff that the temple had and how much gold and how much it weighed and all this stuff. But don't they count for more? Isn't how many people get saved a lot more important than that? So a church like the church in the book of Acts is a church of action. And when you attend a New Testament church, it should be a church that is active and actually doing something. So if you're not in a church that is not, if you're in a church that's not doing something, then you're in a wrong church. Like, your church should be doing something. It should be reaching people. It should be getting people saved. That should be the mission. That's the main thing, folks. Like, what happened? I just don't understand what happened. What happened to Baptists? What happened to the evangelical movement? I thought evangelicals got people saved. That's what evangelical means. Just don't get it. They don't even have the right gospel anymore, half of them. So anyway, let's move on to the numbers, brethren. So what did we do this year? Well, Sure Foundation Baptist North, that's the first church that we planted up in Canada, in Surrey, BC. Evangelist Winfield Fisher has been holding it down up there with his family, and we got a lot of faithful people up there. 105 salvations. You're like, 105, that's it? Hey, it's dark up there. And I don't mean just because of the Sikhs. It's just filled with, like, you know, it's just hard soul winning up there. If you've ever gone up there, it's rough, and they're doing their best. And it's not exactly the Bible Belt up there. But you know what? They go out faithfully multiple times a week. And you know what? You get paid by God for the things you do, for the time you spend. And I'm thankful that they are up there working their tails off every single week and having a good attitude about it. And the other day, like a couple days ago, it was just they had 101, and then he's like 105 so they must have got a few saved on Sunday. So praise the Lord for that. SFBC Spokane. We had a change in leadership recently, and Brother Remy's going to go up there, and he's moving up there. He's looking for a job, and he's planning on moving up there and taking over the leadership with the hopes of being a pastor someday. And this year they had 131 salvations, 4 baptisms up there. They had some new converts join the church on their anniversary last year. The guy named, I don't know who's met Brother Jake up there, but Brother Jake just, he came on the Sunday evening of the second service on our anniversary, and he's been coming there ever since. And last time I saw him, he was talking about just how much, he was telling somebody else there, but he was saying about how much he's learned since he started going to that church. He said, I've learned more coming to this church in the last year than I've learned all the other years, like going to the churches I was going to. So praise God. And we've, you know, baptized some sisters there, and they've been going soul winning. So, you know, things are going good up there, and looking forward to seeing what Remy and Kylie can do up there. And I think everybody's excited, so looking forward to that. But 131 salvations there, 4 baptisms this year. And then SFBC Winnipeg was under our banner until June, and I ordained Brother Jim. But up until that point, they had 79 salvations and 3 baptisms. And they had started a Bible study group in Calgary, which is doing well right now. They're running, I think, over 20 people right now. And they had 60 salvations while they were still under us. which I never got a chance to preach there, and I'm going to go up there and preach. I just haven't been able to pencil that out yet. But then we have SFBC Seattle. We just ordained Brother Sean Conlon to go up there, and he, on his first full Sunday there, he baptized two converts. I had five baptisms there this year, and they reached their goal of 200 salvations. So they had 199 the year before last, last year, and then they wanted to get 200, and so they hit the goal on Sunday, so praise the Lord for that. And yeah, so looking forward to what Brother Sean's going to do up there. And yeah, so great job up there. Brother Stephen really got a lot more than he bargained for, and Brother Neb. So I really appreciate all the hard work that they've done up there. And we got a really good situation up there, so I'm looking forward to seeing that church grow. And let's see, Bible Believers Baptist, they had 167 salvations and four baptisms. So, and they've done a great job, and they've had a lot of growth. They've had some new guys come. Brother Noah, I don't know if anybody's met Brother Noah, but he's been up there and he's been preaching. And then, we've had some new folks up there, and so that church is doing really well. 167 salvations. And then in last February, we planted a church called SFBC Indianapolis. Brother Justin Zong, he actually came to the Yakima Church to go soul winning with us all day. He flew into Portland like at 10 o'clock at night, stayed in a hotel here, drove up to Yakima at like 6 in the morning, met us for the soul winning marathon, went soul winning with us all day. I drove home after the soul winning marathon. He drove back, stayed in a hotel, came here, led songs for us because we didn't have any of our song leaders here, which was a blessing. And I met with him and Brother Matt, and they kind of told me their story and made their plea to get a church going, which I did not want to do, I'll admit. I just, my cup runneth over, I'd already given that my cup runneth over speech on, my New Year's thing last year. And I really didn't, I just did not want to do it. I was just like, it's in the Midwest, how am I going to do this? Like, what am I, And they just, I said, okay, well, I'll come check it out and see. And, everything that they said was true. Because sometimes people will say, we got this plant that's ready to go. We got all these people. We got 60 people. And usually it's just not true, or it's nowhere near what they said. And, it wasn't 60 people, but it was, 40 people. So, because I always know that there's always going to be people that say that they're going to come and they don't come, That always happens. But when we started the church, we had like 89 people come to the first service for a big kickoff. And then they had 838 salvations this year. And that's in less than a year. So if they would have had a whole year, they might have had close to 1,000 there. They had 13 baptisms. And so, their first anniversary is coming up. I'll be ordaining Brother Justin as the evangelist in the morning service. And then I'm pretty sure Pastor Weeb will be preaching with me in the Sunday night. I'll probably just do like two quick sermons on the Sunday night. Yeah, me doing a quick sermon. But anyway, that church is very successful. They're running 50, close to 50. So doing really well. So I don't regret starting that at all. And then, of course, our church, 540 salvations, 7 baptisms. So, but they're all our baptisms because they're all part of our church anyway. So, no. But let's see. Yeah, 540 salvations is pretty good but think about this. So we, usually we would do the Detroit soul winning and we'd get all those salvations greedily to us, But we gave all the Chicago soul winning numbers to them because, so am I not merciful? I'm just kidding. But normally we would do like a big trip and we would count all those for ourselves. So, but it's all us, we're the ones that planted these churches. And so in all reality, until we cut the umbilical cord, they're all our salvations anyway, right? And we all contribute to this. And it's all our efforts that have helped all this come to pass anyway. So we're all one team. You know, we're not really divided. We're divided by congregations in a different place, but we're still the same church. So, and, you know, the goal is not to keep them all as my own personal piggy banks like people like to accuse me of, but, you know, we're like keeping some of these ones afloat. So I don't understand how that works. But anyway, they're not going to be independent until someone's ordained as the pastor there. That's how that works. So as a total for our, for Sure Foundation Baptist Church, our total salvations, 2,120 for this year for all of our churches, you know, combined. So good job. And then 36 baptisms. So praise the Lord for that. So yeah, basically we're like, I mean, I hate to say the mother church because it sounds Catholic. We're not Catholic. But like, we did plant these churches, and these churches are planted because, and they're not, basically they're attached. So they're not independent, and they are a part of our support in some way, shape, or form, okay? And it's your tithes and your offerings and our extra work that's directly responsible for other churches being started. And you guys allow me to go off and do these things, and the salvations, the baptisms, the spiritual works that take place there are added to your account. So it's not like it's separate, really. I mean, other people are doing the work in those areas, but it's because of what you guys have done here in Vancouver that allows these churches to get started. So you believe in my vision, and you get behind me, and, you know, not everything is always worked out to the best. You know, sometimes things are not gonna work out. So, but does that mean we just stop trying? Does that mean we just stop doing it? You know, sometimes leaders are bad. Sometimes they end up being bad. Sometimes they just don't work out, or sometimes places don't work out. I mean, is the Church of Ephesus still there? Oh, I guess the Apostle Paul is bad because that church just stopped being a church someday. Oh, he's bad. Paul planted a bad church. Because it should just go on till all eternity, right? Because Paul planted it, right? Or otherwise, he's just a false prophet. Is that how that works? He's just a bad leader? I mean, think of the mental gymnastics that you have to go through on all that stuff. It's just ridiculous how people think. Or, you know, whoever ordained Diotrephes, that person must have been a bad leader because they ordained Diotrephes. Was that the Apostle John that did that? Kind of seems like it was, because he's writing about him, right? He's like, Diotrephes doesn't let me come. Diotrephes doesn't even want me to come to the church that I started in the first place. He throws out everybody. So is that John's fault? Is that Paul's fault that people, you know, go bad? Is it Jesus' fault that Judas was bad? Is it? I mean, that's just a retarded way to think. Excuse me. Sorry. I didn't mean that. That's a foolish way to think. How about that? I apologize. All right. So without SFBC Vancouver, there would be no other churches like that out there. So there would be no Strong Tower Baptist Church in the UK, which has started other works in Europe and Africa. There would be no SFBC North in the dark area of BC in Canada. There would be no Fortress Baptist Church in Winnipeg or Calgary, or the new church plant that they just started in Toronto, which is getting tons of people saved now. There wouldn't be a location in Indianapolis running 50 in the Midwest right now. There wouldn't be churches in Spokane, Seattle, and Yakima. And there surely wouldn't be one here without you guys here. So I do want to say, I just want to thank you guys for, you know, just all the hard work you do. You sacrifice a lot. And I just, you know, you guys work hard. And it's because of you that we have all this, you know, all the over 2,000 people getting saved this year because of the churches that we planted. So we have We're not exactly in the Bible Belt, so the fact that we have all these loyal people here that still go out and knock these doors, and we get lots of exercise because of we don't get to just stay at one door all the time. Like, you know, you go to some of these receptive areas, it's like you just knock one door and you're just like chilling there for a long time. Yeah, yeah. You're getting a whole family saved. It's like, oh, I got five, you know. And you just, it's not like Detroit or Chicago or some of these other places. So, you know, you're doing some, you're putting your walking shoes on here sometimes. So, I mean, you know, we still get people saved here, though. So we still got 540 people saved here. So praise God for that. But we do put in a lot of work, and I appreciate it. I just want to say that to you guys. And we're loyal. And, you know, sometimes I just wonder, why did I choose this area? And sometimes I just want to say, hey, you guys want to just all move to, like, someplace that's really receptive? We'll all just move. But then I would think, you guys would really think we're a cult then if I did that. So I'm kidding. All right, so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. And sometimes the Apostle Paul, he would go and start churches, and he would take money from other churches. He would, like, you know, he wouldn't take it, but people would give him money to go and do things in other places so that he wouldn't have to ask them. And that's kind of what happens when you start church plants. And in most situations, this is how it works. The church that starts that plant is putting all their funds into that church plant. That's what Pastor Jimenez did when he started the Church in Verity. He put a whole bunch of money into Verity Vancouver. He bought all the chairs, he bought all the equipment, he gave us all the stuff that we needed to start. We bought a piano without his permission. He got mad at me. But that was the maddest he's ever gotten at me that I know of, anyway. So, a lesson learned. But anyway, it says, Second Corinthians 11:8, it says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So the Apostle Paul is just telling them, like, hey, you know, I'm trying to do great things for your church so that I can start your church. I robbed other churches. He didn't literally rob them. He's just saying, I used money from other churches to help you start your church. He's just trying to help them understand and to appreciate the things that were done for them, because sometimes a lot of people don't understand that when great things get done for them, they don't appreciate it sometimes. And I just want you to know that you are appreciated by me, at least, for the great things you've done for other churches. And I think, you know, most of the time, people at these church plants, they are very thankful for the fact that we started a church plant there. And people can dog them out and make fun of them and mock the church plants that we have, but they're thankful for the fact that they have a great place to go to church, regardless of what other people say. Amen. So just know that you guys are appreciated, and you might not get thanked enough, but I just want to thank you tonight for that. And know the numbers aren't everything, but they are recorded in some instances, and some instances they're not, as we saw earlier in those scriptures. But what tells me that they are important and worth recording? You know, they're worth recording, right? They were recorded for us, but not all of them were. So they're not the end-all be-all. They're not. But they are important. That's why we record them. But is every cell, you're like, Pastor Thompson, is everyone really legit? Probably not. But some of the ones that we didn't think were probably are. You know, it probably all balances out. You know, and are there some people that come in and they, you know, try to brag these big numbers, and maybe some of them aren't legit? Probably. But I'm sure there's some people that are honest, and maybe they'll be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to count that one. And later on, you'll find out probably that person actually did get saved and you just didn't know it. Or maybe they just went and prayed later because of what you preached to them. We don't know. I was talking about the glow that doesn't come upon people when they get saved. It'd be nice, right? But that's just not how it works. So we just do our best. You know, we preach the best gospel we can, And we try to be very thorough with them. We don't just pray prayers with people and hope that for the best. We want to make sure that they understand, and we pray with them because we know they got it, right? Now, we did do that Chicago soul winning event. That was a big thing we did. And we did have 118 salvations with five baptisms at that. We went and visited First Baptist Church of Hammond, and that was pretty cool to see that, whoever went to that. And I got an opportunity to preach at 58th Avenue Baptist Church, which was pretty cool. And didn't really realize that that was... I was super tired when he asked me to do that, and I didn't have a sermon ready. Well, I felt really bad, but, you know, I did my best. But it was a great trip. That was, like, one of the main trips we went on last year. We planted a church that went independent. So, like I said, Pastor Weeb's church, which was... in Winnipeg, after 2 years, I decided to ordain Brother Jim, and he became the pastor, and they decided to call their name Fortress Baptist Church. And so they are Fortress Baptist Church in Winnipeg. They got a new building, and they've just hit the ground running. You know, they're doing great things for God. I'll get to them here in just a second. But we also ordained Brother Sean Conlon. The Bible says turn to... turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. Try to go a little bit faster here. Titus 1, 5, it says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So one of the jobs of an elder is to ordain other elders. And what's it say? In every city. So I'm way behind. I've only ordained two elders in two different cities. So, I mean, yeah, I got some work to do. I'm not just trying to ordain anybody that wants to get ordained. I do try to be very selective. But I believe that Brother Jim was running basically a Bible study group for almost 5 years before we even started him as of his church plant. He was there. He was leading people. I was watching him for years. And it's like people will say, "Oh, you just grab people that you don't know and you just ordain them." It's like, that's not true. You don't know what I do. You have no clue. People just like to throw crap at the wall to see if it sticks. I didn't say the other word. I said crap. Dung. Doo-doo. But this is what people do. They like to just say stuff because they think it sounds cool. They think they know everything, but they don't know anything. I watched Brother Jim for years. I met Brother Jim when Pastor Anderson got banned from Canada. Like, well, what year was that? And then Garrett had to preach that weird sermon. But anyway, I wasn't even a pastor then. I met Brother Jim. Brother Jim drove all the way from Winnipeg and, like, he drove hours and hours and hours to get there. And that was the first time I ever met him. And, you know, Brother Jim's just been holding it down for years. And I was just like, man, why is anybody helping this guy? So I just decided to help him. And look at him now. He's already started two other small plants. Well, I mean, if you consider Toronto a small city, it's like one of the biggest cities. It's like... they already got, you know, it's already a bona fide plant. Like, I don't think Calgary is a plant because they're still, they don't have people preaching every week yet. But Toronto has somebody, they have a rotation of preachers already. So they already have a building. They're already, like, having one service a week, I think. So they're taking off there. So they're just multiplying. And he did that right after I got him ordained, right after I ordained him, he started that Toronto. He already had Calgary going, started Toronto. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Look, it's turn to Acts 16. It's my job to do the work of an evangelist as a pastor. It's one of my qualifications. You know, and I'm sorry that some people just don't feel like that's necessarily part of their job, but I do. And maybe I've gone a little crazy about it, but I don't think I have. I've only ordained two pastors. I've been a pastor for 6 years, so I don't think that's that big of a deal. And I'm no spring chicken. I'm going to be 50 in like 3 weeks. You know, I got to kind of redeem the time here. So, and Pastor Tavener, I'll get to him in just a minute, but they're killing it. They are killing it. So Acts 16:4 says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep and were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So they were part of the same mind, right? They were ordaining other pastors, other elders. The elders were ordaining. It wasn't just the apostles. The apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. So Fortress Baptist Church, Brother Jim Weeb, what did they do? What did they accomplish this year? Well, like I said, they started that other church, Fortress Baptist Toronto. They have the Bible study group in Calgary, Fortress Baptist Calgary. They had 217 salvations this year in Winnipeg. It's not exactly the most receptive area in the world. It's Canada. 13 baptisms. Calgary had 182 salvations, and Toronto had 209. And I don't think that they started till like July or August. So they're doing pretty well. And they're only running maybe 15, 20 people or something like that so far. Anyway, so they total for the year, they accomplished 608 salvations, 13 baptisms. So they're off to a great start, and very proud for the accomplishments of Fortress Baptist Church in their first year. Strong Tower Baptist Church, I went out there and celebrated the one-year anniversary with them, preached for their church. They had 89 in church that service. And total salvations this year, 1,519 salvations. And 1,019 of those were from the UK church alone. So it's not very receptive there, apparently. No, it is very receptive there, actually. When I was there, I had like four salvations myself, just like from door-to-door soul winning. Four or five salvations, I think. The last one was like an old white Irish lady that I thought there's no way she was ever going to get saved, because usually white people there don't get saved. But, well, I mean, that's probably not true, but the ones I talked to don't. But she did. She was like just really easy to get saved. So, but he has like two Bible study groups there. He has a Swiss Bible study group there. It's kind of like, you know, he's trying to get it to be a church plant at some point. And then a French Bible study group. And they had 500 salvations between the two. They went to a big trip to Malawi, a big soul winning trip to Malawi. They preached to 2,000 kids there. He didn't count. I think he preached and maybe they prayed with him or something, but I don't know that he counted them. So he just didn't count them. But he probably had a lot more salvations than that. He just didn't want to count them. So he said, by far our best year yet for salvations. Total salvations since the church plant started, 3,619 from the UK and 743 from the overseas groups. 34 baptisms this year, our best year yet, not counting the ones in Poland that they had like the 60 or whatever that one time. But and then that takes them to 176 total baptisms for their time that they've been a church plant there. So, yeah, top attendance, 89 on the anniversary last year, and total record is 121 on the day he was ordained. So he says, Happy New Year. And so, yeah, 1,119 UK church salvations this year, 500 Swiss and French, 1,519, 34 baptisms. Acts 1:8 says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we don't support a lot of missionaries, but the ones we do are knocking it out of the park. And so we're getting like a lot of bang for the buck, right? We're just killing the missionaries that we support are killing it. Verity Baptist Church, Philippines. Salvation totals. Manila, 11,911. That's a lot, right? VBC Pampanga, 2,070. VBC Bicol, 1,034. VBC Poland, 683. Total salvations, 15,698. So they also moved to a new building, which I heard was doing great. And they have a mission trip coming up in February if anybody wants to go to that. I'm not exactly sure of the right date. I tried to email them about that. Does anybody know the right date of that mission trip? It's in February. I want to say it's the second week, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, if anybody is interested in going to the Philippines, I know that he is having a mission trip there. Steadfast Philippines. We support Evangelist Ubanic. And I just got, just 2 days ago, Pastor Shelley sent me the, they had 3,383. He just sent me the new newsletter, which was like from 2 days ago. Since then, they got 3,420 total. So they were like, they're just like every day, they're just like ding, 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 ding. So 3,420 salvations for Steadfast Philippines, 16 baptisms. So he's off to a great start there. And Faithful Word, Christ Baptist Church, which is in Nairobi, Kenya. That's another, it's a pastor that we support there. They're an independent Baptist church. And they had 1,600 salvations this year, 30 baptisms. And now he has a new building, and he's has 40 people attending his church. So they start out really small. I don't know if you guys have ever seen their videos or not, but they got their whole church robbed. Remember, they had all the storm that destroyed their church building, but now they have a new church building. It looks like they're doing all very well. It says, thank you for your support. So what's our goals? Well, I talked about it the other day. Double down where God will allow us to double down and do the most we can. And like I said, that this is going to be 2025. I'm going to be 50 years old, so I want to remember this is the best year I've ever done personally, and hopefully the best year that our church has ever done, you know, in as far as numbers and most things we've ever done. And really the only thing that's holding us back is ourselves. So, and you know, we can do more soul winning, we can do more Bible reading, we can do the most we've ever done, but you know, we're the only ones that can hold ourselves back. So money's limited, but it's really not limited. You know, because God is the one that controls money. So Trump is the president now, so hopefully things will, you know, some money will start coming through. I don't know. As long as COVID doesn't happen again, I think we might be all right, but who knows? You know, you just never know about stuff like that. But God can fight through economies. He can make things happen for us, right? And things to look forward to, the one-year anniversary of Indianapolis, the Sweetheart Banquet, and the Spokane anniversary. It's in March. April is the Seattle anniversary, and the King James Conference, and looking forward to that happening. I think there's going to be a lot of people coming to our church, so definitely want to get ready for that. And cruise missions trips. Who's interested in the cruise missions trips? Anybody? Does anybody not know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Some of you, who's maybe? No. Well, the cruise missions trips are basically, instead of paying for like to go on some big mission trip somewhere, you can pay for a cruise. Cruises are about $1,000. They could be more depending on how long you want to go on them. But for that $1,000, you get to go to all these different places, and you get to get off, and you can talk to people and preach the gospel to them or whatever. And then they just feed you like the best food, and you know, supposedly it's like really nice and luxurious. I've never been on a cruise before, but I'm definitely interested in doing it. I think it's kind of the thing that everybody's going to try to do this year. So I know that that's being pushed pretty heavily in some of the other churches. So I know a lot of people are interested in it. So it's definitely something. I'm going to be on the Baptist Bias Show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I know me, Pastor Shelley, Pastor Anderson are going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff. So, and I personally would like to go to the South Pacific. And that's just kind of where I'd like to go. But, you know, if you're kind of on a budget, don't want to go on some big mission trip where you have to pay for hotels and Well, I mean, you're still going to have to pay for the airfare to get someplace, but if you're going out of Seattle or L.A., it's probably not going to be that much of a ticket. But when you're talking about, you know, a cruise, the Pacific's probably going to be, you know, a little easier for you to get to. Texas is like 3.5 hours, and nothing really goes out of there. But Florida, you're going to have to go to Florida, Florida man, and that's like 5 hours, probably 2 flights. I don't know if there's a lot of direct flights to Florida. There probably isn't. But I don't know, maybe there is. But anyway, so trips I know about, Chicago is a for sure at some point this year. So if you're wanting to go back to Chicago, that's a for sure trip. Philippines, like I said, February. Bahamas, October, Steadfast. I do know that for sure. And again, the cruise missions trips. And I'd like to do more in Portland. I'd like to do some more small town soul winning. And I want to do the Celilo Indian Village. You're like, do you know where I'm talking about? Do you know where that's at? Huh? It's on the, yeah, it's off the Columbia River. Anyway, it's small, but that's all I got. Oh, look at that. It's 8 o'clock. Perfect timing. Oh, yeah. And yeah, I had one more page. Sorry. But it's almost over. Anyway. Yeah, my preaching schedule is pretty, I'm trying to like not go as many places this year. So, right now I just have a few trips planned. So, but, I have no plans to start any more churches. So don't ask. I know Sean Conlon said in one of his sermons, he's like, Pastor just wants to free me up so he can start another church. Nope. That's not what I want. But I said this last year and then someone came and talked me and twisted my arm. But I'm serious though this time. But my cup really doth runneth over right now. So I really want to have pastors in the locations I already have. So again, I'm going to ordain Brother Justin. So that's my ordination that I want to do this year for evangelist. And the plan is after 2 years, I want to ordain Brother Justin as pastor. Brother Sean Conlon's in no hurry to be pastor, but he just got ordained as evangelist. So he's got some work to do. And that's pretty much it. So one day I want to have somebody that wants to be in Yakima go up there and pastor. So, but yeah, let's do the most we can this year, folks. And it's really exciting to see, you know, numbers might just be numbers, but those are souls that got saved. Souls that are, lives are changed forever that we'll get to see in heaven someday. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all the people that got saved under the ministry of this church and all the great people that go to it. And Lord, I pray that you just bless each and every church plant that we do have, every single leader, Lord, that you keep their hearts and minds, and Lord, that they would be stayed upon you. And Lord, I pray that you just bless each and every single person under the sound of my voice, Lord, in this room, that Lord, that they would still make Sure Foundation Baptist Church their church, and Lord, that they'd be part of this team, and Lord, that they would Lord, try to do the best that they've ever done as a Christian this year, that they'd be able to look on 2025 and say, yes, Lord, this is the year that I did the best I ever could. And Lord, that would make this year the best that our church has ever been, Lord. And I pray that you just help us to, Lord, bring people to church and get people discipled and get people baptized. And Lord, that our church would grow in quantity, but also in quality. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to do many missions trips. And whether that be as just individuals, but also maybe with other churches. And Lord, help us and bless us monetarily so that we can do these things. And Lord, you have the money. And we just give us the will. And we pray that you just, Lord, bless us in our health so that we could do these things. And help us as we try to get sin out of our life this year, Lord. And help us where we struggle. And pray that you bless us now and bless our new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Probation time for Miss Sheila for no number. Psalm 409, the fight is on.